Would you pray with me? God, I'm so thankful that we can come. We can adore you, Jesus. God, it's been a hard year for so many of us. It's been a very hard year. And we don't know what the future holds. Lord, amidst the darkness that we sense, amidst the things that can make us fearful, nervous, can make us question what to do, where to hold on to, may we be reminded that the light of life has come. And we can trust in your light because we can trust in you. God, I pray we would just sense your presence, sense the confidence that we can have, not in ourselves, not in this world, but in Jesus and in the gospel. In your name, amen. Amen. Well, Merry Christmas. Awesome. Well, it's so good for us just to come together and be here. I recognize this is an interesting service. Typically, for Christmas Eve, this place would be packed. I would be sweating like crazy. It'd be so warm in here. And I just recognize this is a unique night for us. But as unique as it's been for us, we know the one that we can trust. We can't trust in ourselves. We can trust in Jesus. And yet here we are in this odd season of unknowns. And I can tell you, I'm just so grateful that we can come together, that we can be here. And so let's see what the Lord has in store for us. I want to make sure to especially thank our visitors, those of you who are here in person, and I'm sure there are others probably online who are visiting as well. We're so grateful that you have chosen to celebrate Christmas Eve, to celebrate Christmas with us. We're so grateful for that. Thank you. And though I'm sure we can find our differences, I'm confident that you and I, each one of us in this room, have seen hardship take place this year. Each one of us has sensed hardship in our world. For those of us who are followers of Jesus, we can say that we have seen the effects of sin in our world. It's right in front of us. There's a spiritual darkness that is around us that we can sense. And I'll tell you, I don't like spiritual darkness, but I don't like literal darkness either. In fact, recently Amanda and I had lights installed in our unfinished basement. We lived in our house for about 2.5 years without a lot of light in our basement. We had one pull string light. And the problem was our dryer is located in the back of our basement. So in order to get to our dryer, you could pull the one light, and then you either needed to use a phone flashlight or walk through the darkness and hope that no one had placed anything in your path. Praise God, no one has gotten hurt yet. By God's grace, we made it. But I'll tell you, for a while, I forgot the light source that was available to me. I forgot it was there. In fact, at one point, I walked right past the light switch. I turned on the one light that I had previously depended on, walked through the darkness, got to the dryer, began pulling out clothes, and suddenly it dawned on me, Kent, you've spent all this money for these lights, yet here you are living as if they do not exist. And I'm so grateful that I've built that habit of having the light. But if I can forget the light source that's available for me in my own house, is it possible that you and I can forget the true light that God has given to us? And we do live in a dark world. That is obvious to us all. So how do we respond to the darkness that is around us? I'm going to be in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5 and 9 through 13. You're welcome to follow along on the screen as I read through this. Let's start in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Verse 9. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, And though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of a human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. And again, as we look at verses 1 and 2, we can see this word and we can recognize what is going on here. It says, again, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. And this concept of Word and what the Word is, it can get a little confusing, and we could dive more into that. But for tonight, we can just recognize that the Word here is Jesus. The Word is Jesus. And that at creation, in fact, before creation, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit were together in relationship. And as Christians, we actually believe that God is three in one. I know that's confusing, but if you can give us the grace here, we want to understand that we are talking about our confident God and our complex God, the God who created you and everything you see around you. Of course, he would be a complex being. And yet here we are, we have one God, yet three persons in relationship from the beginning. Things were in perfect order for God in relationship. And we also see that Jesus was involved in the creation. In verse 3 it says, through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. It's amazing to think that the role that Jesus played in creation. And so we can see this and we can recognize that Jesus, though he came 2,000 years ago, was not a created being. He is infinite, fully God. We can also see then that Jesus knew what it was like to interact with the creation before sin entered the world. Jesus knew what it was like to interact, to be in relationship with his creation, and especially with Adam and Eve. But if Jesus knew what it was like at that time, he also recognizes and he sees the effects of sin in our world. When we talk about sin, we understand that sin really is just missing the mark. It's just falling short of who God is. We have a perfect God. And yet God calls us in obedience to follow him. In fact, if you look at Genesis chapter 3 at the very beginning of the Bible, you can see that Adam and Eve were told one thing. They could eat of any fruit of any tree in the garden, but one tree. But Adam and Eve, they actually listened to a different advisor. There was this serpent who is the devil who told them, you won't certainly die. You won't die. And they believed him and they took his word over God's word. And they disobeyed God. And from here, sin entered the world. And you and I also, we are sinners. Each one of us falls short, whether it be by lying or cheating or stealing, or whether it be simply by calling ourselves gods and taking the place of God in our own hearts. When sin came into the world, it brought brokenness. Brokenness in relationship with God, and brokenness in relationship with the creation. In fact, for each one of us, even this year, we see the effects of sin. We see the effects of sin in the political and social unrest that is in front of us. Because broken relationships weren't just formed between us and God, but when sin entered the world, it caused brokenness between man and mankind. It was not so from the beginning, but when sin entered the world, we see now brokenness in relationships. But we also see brokenness in the creation. A brokenness that this year has manifested itself in a pandemic. And this sin, it's not just one of your sins or one of my sins. This is just simply the sin of the world that has caused the brokenness that we see in front of us. Yet here we have hope. Here we have hope. Because though darkness does have a beginning, Jesus never began. He always was. And Jesus will always be over the darkness. We do not need to fear the darkness. because Jesus was there from the beginning. So if we're going to respond appropriately to the darkness that is around us, we need to receive Jesus. We need to recognize the true light that has come into the world. Starting in verse 4, it says, "In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind." Praise God. He did not turn his back on his creation when we sinned. But he had a plan. A plan to send Jesus. God the Father sent his Son. Because God needed to intervene for us. Again, each one of us falls short. We live in a state of need. Because otherwise we are separated from God and we have no hope. But just as we see the darkness, just as we see the brokenness that is around us, God brought life. And not just life, he brought light. A light that you and I need to depend on in these dark days. As I think about this text, I'm reminded of who wrote this letter and who he was writing it to. See, this book, if you're familiar with Christianity, you can know this book was written in the New Testament. And if you're new to Christianity and you're looking for a place to start reading, I invite you. John's actually a great book to start with. Or you can look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They're all in the same order in the New Testament. And these are all stories of Jesus. But it's understood most likely that Mark probably wrote the first gospel. He's probably the first one to pen a gospel. And likely right after that, Matthew and Luke wrote shortly after him. It doesn't matter necessarily what order it was, but it seems like it probably was that way. And if you read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you'll see a lot of commonalities between them. They were talking to the same kinds of people, same types of people, writing down similar notes. It's pretty interesting. You can actually quote Matthew and think you're quoting Luke. Or Mark, they're very similar. And yet when you come to John was written probably a decade, maybe even more, after these other authors. And I share that with you because of John's audience. Because I have to wonder if John's audience felt like they were living in darkness. If they felt like they were alone. I mean, time had gone by since Jesus had left, and they were probably wondering what was to come. And here darkness is coming around them, and what do they do? But it's with that knowledge that John pens these words in verse 5. "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." That word "overcome" in the Greek, it has a concept as if the darkness is trying to snatch the light. It's trying to grab the light. It wants to snuff it out. And yet we know that the darkness has not snuffed out the light, and it will never snuff out the light. John wanted his audience to know that we have the true light, that we can have confidence in the light that we have received if we have received Jesus in this dark world. Though we live in a world of darkness, we must live in the eternal light of Christ. Though we live in darkness, though our world has darkness, we live in the eternal light of Christ. In verse 9 it states, "The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him." As we think of who Jesus is our Savior. That we need a Savior. You and I, on our own, are not able to receive relationship with God. But God had a plan. He had a purpose in sending Christ. Jesus did not come to the earth simply to be here. He came on a mission. And if Jesus came on a mission, that means Jesus understands that sin is a problem. For you and I, if we come to Jesus, we have to recognize first and foremost that sin is a big deal. In fact, sin has broken relationship with God. To the point of this, it says, "He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him." His own creation, the very maker of his creation could not receive him because of the brokenness of sin. Sin is a big deal. You and I have a problem if we do not accept the free gift of salvation because we live in a dark world. Yet here God is, faithfully sending his son, Jesus. God the Father sending his son. When we get to verse 11, he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. As we think about this, we can also recognize that Jesus was a Jew. He was Jewish. And he was sent to the people of Israel, the people who had received prophecies, the people who should have known, they should have been watching for this Messiah. They should have been able to see him, recognize him, and receive him. Yet his very people rejected him, and Jesus knew he was going to be rejected. So Jesus is coming into a world, he's coming into a broken world, he's coming into a world with a purpose that is to redeem us, to make the way for salvation. So if you think that your sin is too much for Jesus, recognize he came all the way to our world. Your sin is not too much for Christ. He wants to take your sin. He wants to forgive you. And if you put your trust in Jesus, he wants you to live in light of the light of Christ. We get to verse 13 and it says, or verse 12, it says, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. We do live in a dark world. We live in a dark world. This is a world that is full of sin. This is a world that's full of war and plagues, pandemics, a world of death and heartbreak, of pain and toil, a world that would reject Jesus. Our world. Yet in this world, the light of Christ, Jesus, came into our world. And I want to invite you to think about this. That if Jesus came into the world, he wants you to receive his gift. And if you've never received the gift of salvation, if you're walking in the darkness and you're saying, Kent, I want this light, I just want to tell you how you can receive the light of Jesus. How you can be, as verse 12 says, you can be a child of God. And to be a child of God, all we do is first and foremost just recognize that we fall short. To be a Christian doesn't mean you're a perfect person. To be a Christian means that you recognize that you're not perfect. You're not good enough on your own. I'm not good enough on my own. I fall short. And I need a Savior. I don't just believe Jesus was a man that he came, but that Jesus came as my Savior 2,000 years ago. The light of Christ entered our world. And Jesus, a perfect person, both God and man, went the whole way to the cross, dying a sinner's death, dying the death that you and I deserve. Yet he didn't just stay dead. But 3 days later, he rose from the grave. And all we're called to do is recognize, admit, I'm a sinner, Lord. Forgive me for being a sinner. To turn from our sin. And then just to believe, to say, God, I believe that you died on the cross to pay for my sin, and for you took my place. And I believe that you died, and I believe that you rose from the dead. I am trusting in you for salvation. If you would do that, you can become a child of God. And as verse 13 says, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. This is a big deal. If we are born of God, we can become spiritually alive. In fact, though this room feels dark right now, We can know with confidence that if we put our trust in Jesus, this room actually is very, very bright with the light of Christ. And the truth is, there will come a day when the darkness will be overcome by the light. What a day that will be. Yet God in His kindness is waiting, patiently waiting, so that more and more would receive His free gift of salvation before He does finally get rid of the darkness for good. And for those of us who have received this awesome free gift of salvation, and for those of us who are children of God, who have received the light of Christ, are you living in the light of Christ? Or are you walking by the switch and forgetting what is in front of you? Because we do live in a dark world. So for some of us, this is just a reminder. This is a reminder that we should not be surprised when we experience brokenness and darkness in our world. This pandemic that we're seeing, it's just another manifestation of the brokenness that we see that came through sin. And until the Lord comes and takes us home, before He does snuff out the darkness and brings in the light, before He does that, we can expect to see more darkness. But that does not mean Jesus has not overcome the darkness. It simply means we must walk with Him in the light. So for some of us, it means we just need to be reminded and remember that we need to take hold of the light and walk in relationship with Jesus. And for others of us, maybe this is a reminder that our life, a part of our life is kind of dim right now. And we just need to yield something over to God to allow the light to really shine in our life. The true light that gives light to all mankind. Because, Grace Church, for all of us, if we take this truth seriously, the light that we have received will shine bright. And this community around us that is living in darkness and hardship, seeing the same things that you and I are seeing, we want them to see the true light of Christ, that they may receive it and walk in the light that is in relationship with Jesus. We must take hold of the light to see what God has in store for us as children of the light. And right now, I invite you to go ahead. You can grab the glow stick that was at your seat when you came. If you're at home, you're welcome to go ahead, and you can also, maybe you have a candle or something, you're welcome to light that as well. And there's nothing special about this light in and of itself. Holding a light doesn't mean you're saved. It doesn't really mean anything other than the fact that this symbolizes a reminder to us. Guys did a great job. Hey, you just shake it and snap it. That was a great job. And I invite you to go ahead. You can hold up the light. Fantastic. And look around. Look around the room. Look around the room. This is awesome. Because each one of us, though this is just a symbol, each one of us, if we put our trust in Jesus, we too have received the light of Jesus. We're not walking in darkness. We're walking in the light. In relationship with Jesus. So let's worship our Savior, the one who's given us the light, and be reminded we're not alone, Grace Church. We shine the light together. So would you stand? We're going to sing Silent Night.